Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhit Show, presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name is Phil Nightingale. I'm the general manager. Josh Proffitt, our service director. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful, crisp Saturday morning out there in the cake land, isn't it?
Crisp. Yeah.
Crisp. Is right.
You know, compared to the last couple of days, I'll take it. Sun's out.
I'm done. Yep. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Last snow of this year, maybe.
Shut up. Shut up. Hey, anyway, it's a call-in show, 316-462-3673. You see the number there on the screen. It's a front number to the front desk. Call up, tell the girls you want to get punched into the radio show. You got a question, something ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, or you want to talk about new products. You want to talk about the new Bronco, the new Maverick, anything going on in the new automobile world. You want to talk about anything ailing your car. You want to talk about MH Ford Racing, anything going on in the racing world, anything you want to talk about. How about even Traxxas that we introduced last week, and man, it's going crazy with the Traxxas stuff in our parts department stuff too. Hey, good morning, Goose. Hope everybody's feeling better down there in Oklahoma with you and Kevin. So I hope you guys are feeling better. We can get back up here and get some things going. If you want to call in the show, Goose, and if any kind of updates or anything you got going on, love to hear from you also too. So 316-462-3673. Each and every caller gets a great prize. As always, Josh, what's in that package?
So we're going to mail it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components of that vehicle. Then you'll also receive $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. Complete nitrogen for your vehicle, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer, which this time of year is holds a little more value to it, I guess. And then also the BG products package, which is going to consist of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right, 316-462-3673. Hey, good morning, Delbert. 6.8 inches in Delaware. I can't remember. Is that Tulsa or Oklahoma City? Snow you had this week. Can't remember where you're at. But what did we have? Probably 4 or 5, I guess.
Yeah, there. I would guess 3 to 4, 4 to 5.
Depending on what part of the town you're in, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, the wind
Oklahoma blew. City, 6.8 inches.
Wind blew and then made it drift and all sorts of stuff from there. So
lovely, lovely old man winter. Notice I said old man winter. Can't stand cold. I don't know. But it is just part of the deal. Can't change it. Got to deal with it and roll on. Here's what I looked at. I was talking to one of my vendors on the phone yesterday, and I said, you know what? We're just one day closer to the warm weather, so I'm looking at it.
You know, I've already think it's starting to get, I don't know if it's in my head or not, but it seems like it's starting to get lighter.
It is.
Earlier.
Days are getting longer, so yeah. We're just right around the corner. Mark Rank posted a deal, 45 days till spring. How about
there
that?
There you go.
So I've got 45 more days of this stuff. Heard one of the groundhogs died too. Do you know that?
Oh, really?
That's what I was told. I don't know if that's true or not.
I can't. Groundhog Day. Can't say that I ever really put a lot of faith in if spring was coming.
Nah, kind of tough on that one too.
Or not?
Kind of tough on that one too. So, hey, anyway, let's get the phones ringing. Love to answer your questions. Talk to you a little bit. Give away some price package. Who knows? Even some diagnostics. 316-462-3673. Josh, I'm sure you've had some exciting stuff happen in the store today, this week. And
You know, it's definitely been when you get to the inclement weathers like it is and as cold as it is, we've had a fleet of stuff come in diesel wise that was gelled up. You know, it's especially when the temperatures get down like they were, and then you add the wind chill on top of it. It always makes for.
Well, you know, Josh, let's roll into that a little bit, because that's kind of where we're at here is. Your fuel tanks always will have some kind of condensation in them. Mm-hmm. And the lower you run that fuel tank down, the more condensation you're going to develop and that sort of thing. So let's first, because there's two different really things we need to talk about here. One is a gasoline fuel tank and then the diesel fuel tanks, because totally two different situations there from that fun too. Yes, Delbert, the old videos of the Traxxas jumping in the snow. That was pretty good too. Got a lot of traction with that too. And hey, morning, James. Hope you had a good birthday, buddy. So anyway, Josh, let's first start with the gasoline engines and why we need to put what I call fuel dryer in our systems. But again, in these cold weathers, when you get your fuel tank to half a tank, you need to fill it. Keep the fuller you can keep a fuel tank in these cold weather, the better off you're going to be and that sort of thing. Because you're always going to get that condensation, and how much you get and that sort of thing is going to do there. But let's BG's got the brake product of fuel dryer. And why do we need to put that in there in our tanks, Josh? What's it do?
Yeah, so essentially what we're looking to do with the dryer, one is whatever fuel or water that is in the tank through when you're getting fuel and that tank is stored in a tank underground and it was shipped from a refinery somewhere. And I mean, it picks up condensation, pretty much every step of the way along the way. And then also, I mean, it can pick up condensation in your vehicle as well, just from atmospheric conditions from that side of it, and then also the fuel settling through the refinery process. So but the fuller you keep that tank, the less room you have for condensation to develop. And so that's why what you're talking about as far as keeping the tank fuller helps prevent that, especially on vehicles that are being stored for longer periods of time, keeping the fuel level up on that. But then in the winter months too, you have more susceptible for atmospheric conditions for more condensation. And so there's a couple of things that we're trying to prevent in use of fuel additive to help with condensation. One is so condensation that is in the tank with the use of these products that BG has to offer, it takes that condensation and it mixes it with the fuel. And so it enables the vehicle to actually burn that condensation as opposed to it just separating like it would be if you just left it alone.
Yeah.
And then in the second side of that is condensation in the fuel system on the, your lines. And used to be years ago, we had metal fuel tanks. Now everything's pretty well plastic, but to prevent rust inside of the fuel system from the metal components, you got your fuel lines, injectors, things like that. And you'll actually, we've seen a lot of cases where an injector will go bad. Well, it's just built up with rust inside of it. That's going to cause a misfire or a vehicle to get poor performance or even poor fuel economy and things like that. And so that's what we're trying to do with the dryers that we put in these fuel tanks.
Well, it's years ago when I was still with BG way back in the 80s, and they would come and do a test with fuel dryers and show you how it would work. And they'd actually take a test tube and fill it full of fuel and then take 10 ounces, and they'd put 2 ounces of water, 8 ounces of fuel, and you shake it up. Of course, the water hits the bottom. And then you take some fuel dryer and put it in the test tube and shake it up, and it would basically dissipate that water. Mm-hmm. The main ingredient in that, I remember getting a lot of hacking for saying this, but it's isopropyl alcohol is what's in that product. So then they came in and got their competitor's product and did the same test with it, and shook it up, and it turned it to milk.
Yeah.
It looked like milk. Let's put it that way. So be careful what you buy out there to put fuel dryer in your fuel tanks. But it's like Josh said, keep them on the top end of the fuel tanks and that sort of stuff too. So
you're just, there's so many different options out there on the market. And really, if you're paying a couple bucks for something, you're getting a couple bucks worth. You know what I'm saying? If you're buying a decent product, it's going to work a lot better for you.
Yeah. Anyway, good morning, Jason Cox. How are you doing, buddy? Everything's good. So now, Josh, let's roll into diesels. It's a whole different deal with diesels, because we've got a number one condensation in the diesel tanks too. But the next thing we got to do when it gets so cold, the diesels want to gel. And that's because of the wax that's in the fuel.
Yeah, basically the fuel from that side is, for all intents and purposes, freezes or hardens, and it turns into literally a wax from that side. And so there's anti-gel, you get what you pay for on that, because there's a lot of different types of anti-gels on the market. There's anti-gels that, each one of them has their characteristic or what their working conditions are, and you can buy two different anti-gels and they have different freeze points, or would change the fuel to different freeze points. And so again, you got to be kind of careful as to what you're buying with that stuff too. And then a lot of misconceptions with diesels and gelling and stuff like that is people I guess they wait till they have a problem to install it, and at that point, I mean, it's too late. You know, if you've already gone that far, there's a couple of products out on the market that say, you know, that they'll like a rescue 911 or, and they'll help, but really the best way to combat that or to treat that is before you need it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that's preventative maintenance all over. You know, and then if you do get it there, you've got a process there because you're now going to have to get it inside where somewhere warm. It's going to take many hours to thaw that diesel fuel out. And of course, BGS has got a product that helps that too.
Yeah.
But the best thing is preventative maintenance. And the next thing I want to roll into is the, I can't remember what year it was now. Again, was it when they took the sulfur out of the diesel fuel?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, manufacturers don't recommend anything because of that, but that's still not true. You need to be putting some additive in that tank to help lubricate the pumps, injectors, and everything else in there.
Sulfur is a great source of lubrication for these fuel systems, you know, and with the advancements in technology in these fuel systems and the pressures that these things are running and the volume of fuel that they were previously running through the system versus the volume of fuel that they're running now. I mean, it's with the pressures that they're able to do it, it's such a finer mist from the injectors and things like that. And just from the lubrication aspect of what that sulfur did for the fuel components and the life of those fuel components is huge. And like you said, you know, without that source of lubrication, you know, it's harder, much harder on these components, on these fuel system components. And going back to the kind of the anti-gel side of things is that they have these fuel systems so finely tuned and what they take, it takes a little bit of foreign material or foreign fuel in these things. And you can cause pretty decent damage to a fuel system. And so if you're gelling your fuel up and it's starving those systems for the pressures that they need to do their job, you know, although, you know, we've had cases where we bring a vehicle in and you're able to degel the fuel and then put some fuel filters in it and be okay. But we've also had cases where, you know, you're looking at high pressure pumps and things like that along the way. And Then we've had customers that have put diesel exhaust fluid into the fuel system, and that's not good.
That's
either
hard too.
Yeah, it's very hard on the system. And you know, when you're talking a complete fuel system for one of these newer diesels, and I don't really care what it is, whether it's a Ford or Chevy or Dodge or whatever out there, I mean, you're looking at almost $10,000 for a complete fuel system for one of these trucks.
That's no fun,
you know, and
do a little preventative maintenance to save a lot. Is that's for sure. Jason Cox has got a question for us. Jason, give us a call, 316-462-3673. Rex Trigaro said he was pretty much gelled up yesterday, but he used 4 shots of espresso to get himself.
Yeah, I like it. It's, you know, it's, hopefully you used a little bit different product than what you put in the diesel.
I'm sure Rex did.
Yeah.
Okay. James Furmans is missing some, clamps, some hose clamps that came off and he can't find any there. So James, I don't know what you got going on there. Some clamps should be pretty easy to do, but, not sure what hoses you're talking about or whatever, where you're trying to find those clamps or whatever, but, sure would love to look at it for you, help you there. And Jason Cox, question about 4-wheel drive in the bad weather we just had when switching into 4-high. Do you switch it and then pull the lock position out, or do you just switch it into 4-high? Well, every vehicle is a little bit differently there, and I'm going to give my opinion, and Josh, you can give yours. Some of these manufacturers have made it to where you can shift on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have not from that part. If in doubt, I'm telling you, you need to stop and put her neutral and do your shifting then. But some manufacturers have done a great job of that. But then you got manufacturers got all-wheel drive all the time that, you know, commanding which tires get in the slippage and all that kind of stuff too. But Jason, depending on what vehicle you're dealing with, when you need to shift or whatever, but you know, it's like I'm driving a Super Duty today, Josh, and you know, it's kind of shift on the fly, but boy, how in some of this different road condition stuff, you try shifting that around, she still gets you a pretty good bang every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a huge advocate, you know, on this, make it easy as you can on the system. And so if, as much as possible, you know, from a stop or, you know, at least lower speeds shifting at that point, as opposed to going down the road. Even if the system is capable of that, I mean, it's got to be easier on it with things, you know, components moving at a slower speed, or, you know, not moving at all for sure, as opposed to high RPM or high speeds for that stuff to be trying to engage in everything.
And Jason says it's a Ford 4x4. I get it. What kind of Ford and what year and that kind of thing too, Jason, would help us a lot. Kind of help you there which way you need to do it,
but a lot of the manufacturers, pretty much anything new anymore in switching to 4-high, are all on the fly from that side of things.
Yeah, so you want to get in some of the older cars where it's not the shift on the fly. When, of course, going to 4-low, you always got to be stopped
in neutral
and everything on every manufacturer, that kind of thing, going to 4-low, because that's where you get your torque and everything else out of the situation too. So and it's then, a 2015. So I'm pretty much, that's going to be a shift on the fly.
Shift on the fly. And then some of them are equipped with an auto 4 yes. high as well. And then the so automatic 4-wheel drive, 4 high, and then 4 low. So I don't know if that's what they've got or not, from that side, but yeah, it would be either way, it would be a shift on the fly, to 4 high.
Yeah.
And then, the other thing I would say too is, you know, you get conditions like out the other day or even today where there's some slick spots, but then there's a lot of dry pavement in between slick spots. And, you know, I think it's a lot better on the vehicle and stuff like that to run that in two-wheel drive. If you're running a lot on dry pavement, you know, you really need to be in too high from that side. But running on dry pavement in four-wheel drive is not the best application. Now, if you have a model that it is auto four-wheel drive, that's a different story, because that the vehicle is actually monitoring wheel speed, and it's actually in two-wheel drive until it needs to place the power to a component that is slipping. And so, you know, there is a difference between those two systems.
Huge difference in those systems. Tim Daniel, what about shifting that takes place when you're switching drive mode? So he's talking about like in the Bronco Sport and F-150s Explorers. And for example, the Bronco Sport, it's designed and everything set up to be doing whatever you want to do at whatever speed or whatever, but it won't let you get into the wrong position. So if it needs 4-low for whatever mode you picked, it's not going to shift it for you. It's going to stop you until you get stopped or whatever. So Tim, you're good on shift on the fly and all those different drive modes on the Bronco Sport for sure. Your F-150 should have a 4-auto. And I'm going to tell you that the 4-auto that's on the F-150, I would be running that in, he's got a 21, so he's going to have drive modes too, isn't it?
Yeah, there's different. There is different drive modes.
So basically, if it needs 4-low on the F-150, it's not going to go there. It's going to tell you, a big warning light will come on the dash and tell you to pull over and stop for it to get into 4-low. But any of your drive modes in that truck can be switched at any time. Same with the Bronco Sport, it can be shifted at any time running down the road from that part. So a lot of different systems out there. If you're unsure, of course, grab that owner's manual, but also Google is a lot of help, but sometimes you get some messed up stuff there too. But love to answer your questions. 316-462-3673.
So kind of sticking along the same topic there, I got kind of two comments that I want to say about that. Is yesterday, the other day in the waiting room, I run across a customer and they were sitting there reading, and as I was walking by, I happened to look over and they were reading their owner's manual literally page by page, which I think is awesome, but I can't. Well, but here's my thing. I can't tell you on one hand probably the number of times that I've seen a owner's manual even opened up from a customer.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
I'm with
saying?
You there.
Like I use the owner's manual a lot. There's a lot of great information in there. You know, the index is your friend for sure. I'm not going to go through and read it page by page.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed that they were doing that.
Yeah.
From that, well,
you know,
side,
now that some of the new Ford's got the owner's manual on the screen.
Yeah, it is. It right is. It's part screen. Integrated as part of that dash. So yes, that was very impressive. And then
what section were they on? Did you catch what section?
I didn't pay a whole lot of attention from that side, but I did see that, and I was like, man, I can't tell you of five owner's manuals that I've probably been in that it looked like the spine was even cracked on to me getting there, you know? And so I just thought that was really cool. And then the other thing I was going to say, going along with, you know, drive modes and four-wheel drives and when to apply that and when not to apply that, you know, with the weather, the way it's been around here, had the opportunity on, I don't know, it seemed like one day there was six or seven cars that we ended up having to push around or get out, whether it was customers or this, that, and the other. But I could not get over the number of people that had no idea where their traction control was or how to disable traction control.
Oh yeah.
From that side. And so, you know, it's a great tool, traction control is, and it does need to be on a large majority of the time. But when you're trying to, I guess, get out of a tight spot, and, you know,
you turn it off,
you got to turn it off, from that side of things. And it's a great tool to prevent you from getting there. But once you're there,
I want traction control and analog brakes at all times, except when I'm stuck.
Yeah. But once you're there, it's, you know, it's, you got to be able to disable it. And I think probably out of the seven or eight people that I was helping out of particular situations, I'm going to say six of them didn't even know that it was a thing or how to turn it on or off. So,
yep. Okay. Got another question from Greg. He says, electronic locking rear diff. When do you use that? That's another good.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we used to have PosiTrack rear ends with clutches. I think we still have a few applications of that. But now we've got the actual electronic lockers that lock these rear ends together.
And even with the clutches, I mean, there is still some slippage that's able to occur there. But when you're putting in a locker in there, that makes all the difference in the world.
It's locked solid for both wheels. Mm-hmm. And here's what I will tell you, that if you use your locking differential and put it in two-wheel drive, you're going to go further than you would be in four-wheel drive without the locker applied. And I can tell you, I've seen different tests of different things with that situation. I've watched a two-wheel drive truck pull through a steep incline and everything else, pull a boat through a steep incline and stuff, better than a four-wheel drive can without a locker, because that wheel just gets to spinning and all you're not getting anywhere, so both wheels get to spinning. So that locking differential, it locks both rear axles together. And that's going to give you more traction than you have with two wheels even kind of spinning. You've got a front wheel spinning and a rear wheel spinning from that part. So, Greg, the locking differentials in the Fords, I'm going to tell you, I use it all week. I just pull a lever out on the dash, lock it in. What I love about the Fords is after you get to 20 mile an hour, it shuts it out from that part. But when to use it, any kind of slippery kind of conditions or whatever, but you want to be careful, because if you're on dry conditions, that's the same thing as being in four-wheel drive on a dry condition. You can break something pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, especially, you know, on the rear differential when you're turning. Clearly, the inside wheel and the outside wheel are turning at two different speeds. And if it's unable to slip to compensate for that, and you have it locked together, it's going to bind some stuff up for sure. Yeah.
And you can feel it binding as you go around a corner, feel the truck hopping or whatever from that part. But, you know, Greg, is a situation of me this week just driving back and forth to work, pulling up those stop signs and everything else like that, that locker, locking it in, having it there to pull you away from that stop sign. So you don't spin and slip and slide. You're actually going straight forward and everything else too. It's a great tool, great savings and everything else like that too. But like I said, I've watched the videos, and I was there when back in the day when GM come out with the locking differential, because they came out first with the Eaton locker. And that's, Josh, where I saw it. They actually took a couple hills and dips and things, and they put a boat on behind a Chevrolet truck and drove it through there. And, of course, he couldn't get nowhere. Then they put the four-wheel drive truck in there. He's spinning and slipping and everything else too. But then they took the two-wheel drive, put that locker on there, and just pulled that boat right on down through those deals. But then again, if you put the locker with the four-wheel drive, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
From that standpoint. But getting those two rear wheels to lock together to keep your traction the same, everything to go, it's perfect. So, Greg, I don't know what truck you have or whatever, if you got one that you got to manually take out on and off or whatever either. But I just love the Fords. It's 20 mile an hour. It comes up and even tells you. If you try to engage it above 20 mile an hour, it'll tell you that you're going too fast and stuff too. So, yeah, that's right, Rex. A locker is essential for a good burnout. That's very true. We got a Mustang kind of prove that, right, Josh?
Yeah, and it, when you try to turn some corners with it, it kind of does some hopping and skipping around. But it does do a really good burnout. So
it sure does. And Chuck Benner, probably these roads are bad on U-joints. If you're not applying the collect, you know, applying the four-wheel drive and the two-wheel drive and the locker and all that together, probably very true. And then Greg Murray's is a 21 F-150 King Ranch two-wheel drive power boost. So, Greg, does it have the locking differentials? That would have been an option. That is not a standard equipment on a King Ranch, on a two-wheel drive. So I hope you've got the lever.
It just pulls the knob.
Of course, on a 21, he's going to be in drive modes. So I don't know. Yeah, no, he's still got the lever to pull out for the.
I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure there's still.
So I wonder if, okay, Greg, you've got the option. Okay, good. Fantastic. You know, every time I'm ordering a truck or whatever, I'm always putting that locker in there, no matter what truck it is or whatever. And I had a customer just yesterday that was ordering a Super Duty for, and he would not spend the money. I kept trying to explain to him why he needed it in that Super Duty and everything else like that, but I couldn't convince him. So he got it without it.
Yeah. Well, and so even going to that, ordering a vehicle or buying a vehicle is, you're always kind of want to think what your resale value down the line is.
Oh, it's more crucial today than it was years ago. And that's why I try to, you know, somebody comes in and says, you know, I'm never going to use that sunroof. I get it. I get it. I know you're not, but the next guy that is, and you'll get it back. It's kind of like it used to be years ago that the four-wheel drive versus a two-wheel drive, you always get your money back out of a four-wheel drive. Well, it's kind of the same thing now with sunroofs. It's the same thing with spraying bed liners.
Heated seats,
those kind of things.
Leather interiors, from that side is, it's how desirable that truck's going to be when you go to sell it, or vehicle just in general.
Yep. You got to think about the second owner, not just yourself, and think about what you would want and what that next buyer is going to want and that sort of thing too. For that part. Hey, 316-462-3673. Got some good chats going on. Love to hear from somebody. Love to give you a great price package in each and every caller. And let's thank some of our sponsors, Josh, that help us each and every week for the show. And it's BG Products. And love all their products. Love what they do. Love what they happen. And we got a great partnership with those guys. But what's also fun is just like this week, they came in and picked up a couple cars, took them to their shop and do all the tests and everything else like that. And they come back with all those results. So love helping those guys keep on the cutting edge of the products and what they're doing. And like they said, if you get what you pay for, and their products are great. What they do to help keep your many, many miles running on your vehicles and stuff like that too. So,
Big Corner Creative
for all your wraps, advertising needs, everything from the part, vehicle wraps, race car wraps, whatever it is. Need a web page design, need any kind of a social media design, whatever. Those guys can help you. Anything, if have your business or whatever, need some windows wrapped, whatever it is to help you. As those guys say, just Google us. And then Go to Rent. Hey, Stan's still got a pretty good fleet of vehicles over there for rental. If you want to not have to keep putting miles on your vehicle or need something bigger or whatever, but his fleet is dwindling too, just like our inventory has. I still cannot order any replacement vehicles yet for his rental department. Fords have cut them off, and I'm being told we're not even probably going to be able to get any fleet cars until the end of the year.
Really?
From that part, so. Steve Baker, looks like the Traxxas car is coming to look at what you have. Looking forward to this race season with you guys. Hey, Steve, come down and check out the Traxxas, everything else from that part. And also remember, February 19th, race open house. Going to be a lot of fun, a lot of exciting stuff going on. Jordan Whitehead will be here cooking from 11 to 1 for free lunches and everything else, too. There's going to be all kinds of prizes and different things given away. Special discounts that day, but don't forget to get your rewards program card for 5% of everything you buy, from tires to fuel to whatever it is, everything from that part. And also the Traxxas, that's been a kind of a fun, exciting deal around here. And we had a good video this week that they put out there, because it's pretty quiet around the store on Tuesday.
I hadn't watched the video.
You haven't watched the video?
I'll have to
go on there and do it. It's a pretty good video. The only thing, I was getting a little nervous, Josh. They had a snowbank right outside the tower here, and they were jumping those things and everything like that. But there was a brand new 2022 F-150 Platinum sitting right there. I'm thinking, boys, do not run into my truck sitting there.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
But they got some pretty good shots of those things jumping around and everything else, too. It's a really pretty cool video. We'll have to show it to you, Josh, at the end of the show, but it is a great video. So, Steve, come out and check us out, see what you got. Everybody, don't forget about February 19th, race open house, kickoff race season. It's going to be the Busch race. We'll have that on big screen TV playing. Lots of cars on display, lots of vendors, lots of stuff coming. Different things to learn and stuff for the race season, and a couple more announcements coming out the deal here too in that part.
So. Yeah, very excited for that.
So anyway, yes. And what else, Josh? 316-462-3673. Love to hear from you. Love to answer your questions and talk about anything in the automobile world. Anything can happen. Love to hear what you got going on in your mind or whatever. Or just anything. 316-462-3673 and get that great price package. So, Josh, we kind of talked about the fuel dryers and the diesels and all that kind of stuff, making those things kind of perform like it did. And I'm going to tell you, I'm driving that Super Duty today, and the first day I got caught without it. And I will tell you, when I went to start that diesel before I put any additive in, it cranked a long time. But it did start.
Took a little while for it to fire.
And then I kind of noticed this morning after I drove it a couple days, got that fuel through there and everything else like that. I mean, it just took off this morning. So, Make sure you're doing some preventive maintenance on those diesels. Make sure you're putting some fuel dryer inside your fuel tanks these cold weathers. And Josh, what else can we talk about in this cold weather?
Yeah. So you, the other day you'd mentioned something about a Lightning truck. Are we, what's the status of that?
Well, let's talk about Lightning F-150. Hate to tell you, we're only getting three, Josh. That's all their allotments for the first 22 model year. I'm hoping they're going to start building the 23s real early what I'm hoping, why we got such a small allotment of cars, of trucks. We have three we're getting. Two are ready in the order bank, done, set, ready. The other thing I did learn today or yesterday is we are going to get a demo.
Very good.
It's a pro, so it's a base unit and everything else like that part. But it's going to be one. We had same thing we did with the Broncos and that sort of thing. So you'll be able to come in and test drive a Lightning from that part. Be very cool to have. It's being built in the middle of April, so I'm going to guess we'll see it sometime. Maybe the first of May, middle of May, something like that. I guess we'll start seeing the first, that demo and that sort of thing too.
Did you ever decide what assembly plant that was coming out of?
No, I didn't.
I was going to look that up, and I did not.
You know, I didn't look that up either. Probably should look that up and see.
Just out of curiosity. But yeah, that's, you know, these electric vehicles are something that, I think it's going to be a long time before, we see a large majority of these over the internal combustion engine vehicles for sure, but it's definitely something that every manufacturer is moving towards, and we've got a lot of different platforms that you can get the fully electric Ford version of it on, and you know they're just going to continue to add more and more to them for sure. So
yeah, it's coming. It's you know, as much as I still want to hear the V8 thunder under the hood and coming out the exhaust and all that kind of stuff, I think there'll still be a few cars around like that. You know, the Mustang's coming new for 23, and it's going to be a hybrid, one of those in there, and that also they're telling us how fast that thing's going to be. And so it is just the way the future, way it is coming in. Driving in this morning, I heard on the radio where the state has got funds allotted to put charging stations throughout I-70 and I-35.
Yep.
So that's going to help the infrastructure and that sort of thing. And they're using the money. Right? That's kind of cool. And I thought they got the money. Remember when Volkswagen got sued for those wrongful
about their emissions.
And all that stuff, and they got fined. They're using that money to put these stations in.
Pretty cool. Well, thank you, Volkswagen.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate their little infrastructure help from that standpoint too. So I thought that was very cool and everything else too from that standpoint too. So it is a way, the way we're going. It's going to be a long time in my opinion before we're 100% electric. Some of these manufacturers come out and popped off and we're going to be done by 2030 and all this kind of stuff. Well, those have been taken away, and so I think everybody realizes it's not as easy as you think it's going to be to convert your fleet over to 100%.
Well, and then I mean, just in addition to that, those vehicles still require maintenance. They still require inspection and things like that, and to be able to have a certified technician look it over and make sure everything's safe and what it needs. And now it's definitely going to change the service business, you know, as far as what types of repair, but man, there's still a lot of electrical components on these things. And you know, aside from maintenance, in today's world, unless it's a lack of preventative maintenance, we don't really get into a lot of replacement of engines or, you know, overhauling transmissions, things like that. I mean, everybody's powertrain components across the board are pretty reliable, pretty dependable.
Yeah, they are.
And typically when you get into something like that, you see that it's just not been taken very well care of. From that side of things. And so it's all the sensors and switches and all the other components that typical repairs of what we see. And I mean, you're still going to have a lot of that stuff in these hybrid vehicles.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll keep talking about that. Got a couple questions pop up here on the chat screen. And Mr. Furman, is Jake going to run the Battle of the Bullring or the KOA this year? And Mr. Furman, no, he's not. We're not going to run those. We're coming out of the gate with IMCA this year, James, and that's what we're going to concentrate on from that part. So kind of fun to race those races, but car set up for IMCA, that's what we're going to do for 2022, and from that standpoint. So, and then Chuck Bender, who is Mel Hamilton Ford's iRacing driver? Well, Chuck, I wish we had one, but we don't really. I guess that'd be who we're going to get to be our iRacing driver. We've got quite a few guys who I know that jump on there and run. My son Jake gets on there quite a bit, and I think he's on there about every night on some form of iRacing or something, practicing with his simulator and that sort of stuff too. But several different people around here are on that too. So anyway, as we keep moving through, you know, Josh, and it's just like these hybrid cars and electric cars and stuff. And, you know, I got stopped in the store the other day and a guy says, you know, we got to get this infrastructure out. Well, it's coming. You know, it's just kind of like the ethanol. I love ethanol because it supports our corn farmers and stuff. But for the fuel stations to put in a whole new tank system, all that kind of stuff, it just didn't make sense. And that's kind of why ethanol kind of phased it. I think it's phased out. I don't know if that one in coal, which is still selling.
Yeah, it's still there, still going. But you just don't. It didn't grow very much. You know, there's not a lot of people adapted or added on to that side of things.
Yeah, and you know, Rex Trigger says, you know, batteries wear out too. And you're right. And everybody thinks these electric cars, you know, they're maintenance free. No, they're not. All you're missing is an oil change. You still got tire rotations. You still got brakes.
You got filters. You know, there's cabin air filters in it. The cooling system.
Cooling system don't get service and everything else too. Is there a lot less moving parts? Oh yeah, sure. There's a lot less moving parts and everything else too. And like Rex says, these batteries wear out. That's going to be the time to tell to see how long these batteries really do last. And when it's, you know, years down the road, when they do finally go out, what is really the cost going to be?
Yeah.
I saw a video the other day where a guy stole a Tesla and don't quote me exactly these numbers. I don't remember exactly. I think he bought it for like $16,000, but then he had to spend $20,000 to get it back because the battery was out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll have to see what that's going to do and what that's going to happen, what the supply and demand and what the rate of that, what those batteries will cost when it is time to finally replace one of those batteries. Now, on our hybrid cars, I don't know, have you seen a Ford hybrid that we've had to replace a battery
in? No, I have not. I can think of one Honda that we put a battery in at one point in time. But aside from that, I really cannot think of, take that back. I think we put one battery in a C-Max. I think it was a theft deal.
Really?
The reason why we ended up having, and I think it got damaged. I don't think there was a fault or a reason why it got replaced. But then the other thing to do, to go along with that is, I mean, there's a long term is we're going to be able to replace individual cells, you know, and you're not going to have to go in and put a whole battery
in these
things. It's going to be a repairable part from that side of things. So, you know, now what that looks like in terms of expense and things like that,
still time to tell.
Yeah. The time will tell that. But then also, I mean, all these manufacturers they're having to stand behind these with, you know,
is it 8 or 10 year warranty?
I think it's 10 year, 100,000 miles on those components. So, yeah. You know, it's going to be a little while down the road before we find out what that looks like in terms of cost and stuff like that. But with them being able to be repaired and replace individual cells and stuff like that, I mean, that's going to, I'm sure, help the expense of repair and everything as well. So.
Yeah, Tim says that the Lightning can run your house with the generator. Can it charge itself? Well, no, it can't charge itself, but I think there's going to be time down the road. There's probably is going to be something like that that comes on board of those deals.
Well, so a little bit of that, I guess we could talk about the regenerative braking, because in a term, I mean, it is adding power back into it, but it's not enough to be self-sustained from that.
Self-sustained to keep it up from that part. And then Greg Murray, did you see the test 1 mile road charges electric cars while you drive in Michigan? I've not seen that. So I don't know what that kind of, maybe that's some kind of a solar or wireless thing or something. Yeah. That's actually, as you're driving in that mile road, that it's actually throwing a charge into the car or something.
Yeah.
There's going to be all kinds of things like that, I think, is going to come with technology and different things. And, you know, we're running now, you know, 300 to 400 mile ranges on these batteries and what they're kind of saying. And I think we're going to see 600 and 700 mile range batteries, I think, eventually. But that's just technology getting developed. That the other thing I think we're going to find, I think they'll develop ways of getting these things to charge faster than what they're charging to.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that, because, you know, that's a consumer thing. Everybody wants it. They want it right now from that side of things. And I get it. I understand that, too. And with a fully electric vehicle right now, there's a lot of pre-planning that's got to go into, you know, making that thing operate from that side of things. So, but I've often always said, you know, I think back of like your grandparents or my grandparents and what changes in technology they've seen in their lifespan, and then think of, okay, well, like my lifespan, the amount of change that's going to take place in that. But I just couldn't imagine, you know, watching literally the first vehicle drive by that you've ever seen from that side, or the TV, or, you know, I mean, I don't know if we put a man on the moon or,
Josh, is still, I remember back in the early 70s, my dad's station, and the cars come out with front disc brakes. Mm-hmm. Everybody freaking out how terrible that was and everything else, you know. Then it got into the mid-70s, and here come the electronic ignition, removing the points. Oh, my God, what are we doing? Da-da-da-da. Okay, then we got into the catalytic converters, and oh, my God, then we had the test tubes, all that kind of stuff. Everybody freaking out about that and everything, you know. And now think about, look at the technology we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And how fast it's went compared to that. And I remember one time I told everybody that when these cell phones come out and we're still running those old flip phones, I said, you know, in 5 years, we're going to carry a handheld computer in our hand.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years we had a smartphone. So.
And then 2 years after that, it was outdated. And there was a whole nother one that was way better than that. You know,
yeah.
The other day I was with somebody, they were running a BlackBerry.
Still?
Yes.
How?
I don't know. I looked at that thing and I said, what in the heck? I mean, I remember.
How?
I don't really? Know. I was like, man, I remember that
used to be. That was the phone. Thing. Me, like, and Scott May were just talking about that this weekend while we're in Kansas City, about how the BlackBerry, in its day, it was the thing to have.
And,
it was the top notch.
He had that. And I can't.
I didn't know there was anything still working.
I couldn't believe it. It was, but anyways, you know, now that's out of date and we're on to something else and stuff like that.
Okay. Now, Greg Murray just put this link on our chat, and it would be so cool. I don't know if you could plug that in and play it through the show. We have to figure that out, John. That might be something for our future show.
What you could do, you wouldn't hear the volume, but I was going to say we could put it on the screen behind us from that side of it. So
we got to, we'll have to get with Gus and figure out a way that someone else sends us a link like that we can actually put it on the screen and play it for everybody, so everybody can see. That would be cool. Greg, hey, thanks for the link, sharing that, buddy. After the show, we'll definitely watch that and see what's going on with that part too. And then also think about the tire noise. Yeah. Think about when tires start cupping out too.
Well, so, and that's a thing too, on these, fully electric vehicles, you know, there's, I don't know if the consumer knows that, but they actually make a different tire for electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles from that side of things. And a lot of them have a foam band inside of the tire. It's glued onto the, just again, on the inside of the tire. And it's, you know, probably, I'm sure there's different dimensions of it, but probably about an inch and a half thick, and it's foam, and that's to absorb tire noise, so you don't hear that in the cabin of the vehicle.
This was way back, I don't remember now, 10-15 years ago, one of my good customers came out and he had bought a Honda hybrid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did it because for his business, all the highway miles and in town stuff, it just saved him a ton of fuel instead of driving his truck everywhere. Well, just like he's a Michelin fan. So the first set of tires wore out. He said, I'll just put me a set of Michelins on there. We did. And just changing that to that tire cut his fuel economy 20 miles to the gallon. We went back and put that other tire back on the car and immediately went right back to that. So there is certain tires that are going to do that for you to do that. It's kind of like we were in the tire yesterday. We were talking about the demonstrator lightning coming on. They said, well, what can we add to it? I don't know what you can. What about wheels and tires? I said, anything you do to that truck, you're going to take away from the fuel. I said fuel efficiency, but the amount of miles you'll be able to go, because you're going to take away
the range,
the range and everything. Just like those tires and wheels, they're designed to have that air go right by them and everything else like that too. From that part, so there's really, you know, I'm sure the aftermarket world's going to come up with stuff to do to these things. But again, I think it's just going to take away the range. But until we can get some more technology and get the ranges longer and charge these batteries faster and all that sort of thing is going to be a different deal. But let's roll to the next thing. And I'm set. What happens to all these batteries down the road?
Yeah.
You know, right now we got salvage yards that are taking care of our cars, but what's going to happen to these batteries? How are we going to dispose of all these batteries?
Yeah, much like we were talking earlier about being able to disassemble them and break them apart into pieces, you know, the hope, I think, from that side of it is to just replace what needs to be replaced as a failed component and not have to replace a whole battery pack, but then to go along with that, they've got to have somewhere to go with it, you know, because I think in some sense, you can't just be trading one unfriendly environment thing for another, that's going to kind of defeat the purpose of what we're doing. So,
yep, I think so too. So, all right, 316-462-3673. Got a lot of stuff coming across the chat line. Love to hear from you and give you a great price package about over $130 for each and every caller. And hydrogen fuel cells. I know they're working on that too, Rex. It's coming. I think that's going to be here sooner than we think on the hydrogen side. But I know they're working on all that stuff. And I do know that the internal combustion engines, future diagnostic on those is probably done. I don't think they're probably spending any money to try to help advance those whatsoever. Because I think we probably, I don't know, I still think we probably, I said that years ago before all these things happened. But I think we've maxed out the what we can do with an internal combustion engine.
Man, it's impressive the horsepower and torque and fuel efficiency and stuff that they're getting out of these things in today's environment, in today's world, compared to, you know, I mean, we were V8s that were hopped up. You know, we got four cylinders that are easily doing that right off the
coming out of the gate, killing it.
You could run 200,000-300,000 miles in them. You know, something back then that was a V8 that had that much torque and horsepower in it, you were having to do something with it and 30,000 miles, you know.
Sometimes sooner.
Yeah.
Where your foot was at.
So let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jordan. Jordan, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
How we doing, guys?
Perfect. You?
I'm doing real good. I'm doing good. You guys look nice today. Real sharp. Josh got a brand new fresh haircut there.
Did he?
No,
no, I do.
Yeah,
oh, he's due.
Yeah,
he's due.
So he looks lined up.
He looks lined up. That's what it is.
Yep.
So, what's Jordan up to today?
Nothing. You know, I had a question, and you're just talking about these vehicles, and it was something I've noticed. You know, in the way these vehicles, especially trucks, are holding their value. I mean, you see 10-15 year old trucks all day long that are still $25,000-$30,000. They just last longer and they flat hold their value better than they used to. In your opinion, do you think at some point financing will adjust, and because of the longevity and how the vehicles are holding their value, that finance companies will start taking them out over 8-10-15 year notes for more affordable payments, as opposed to, you know, the classic five that everyone's used to?
You know, Jordan, that's a great question. And we've talked to a lot of our lenders about different things and stuff like that too. And, you know, today, you know, back when I was working with my dad, when cars got 80, 90,000 miles on it, we're throwing them in junkyards because they were just wore out. Today, right, they're just getting broke in. And you can get a car today that's got 150,000 miles on it. It's been maintained. It's still got another 150 to go. But the lenders are still have not moved to that yet, to that step. But I'm with you, Jordan. I think they need to step into, I'm not sure the as much as going to 8-9 year notes is the answer, as much as being able to
borrow something
that's a little older with a few more miles on it. Cause I'm going to be honest with you, we really don't have a lender that will loan anything over the 150 mark. Don't have anybody that will do that at this point. But you know, there are cars out there that's, like you said, these trucks are, you know, coming in with 150,000 miles on it, and they're still worth $30,000. And there's, I would hope the lenders will catch up someday or whatever, but you know, it's a risk to them too. They've got to analyze all that and the risks they're putting out there and everything else from that part of the two. But, I hope they will adjust, but, I've been looking for that adjustment for quite a few years already, just on because the cars do last longer to loan more money on a used car, and to change the amount of years that will go on a used car. And I don't know if there's just some kind of an inspection they can do or whatever to know the car's in good shape and everything else to do that. But they just haven't adjusted yet. And I hope they will. I hope it'll take time, but because I think it would change the whole marketplace if they would do that. But then again, I don't know what the risk is either on their side of making sure that loan gets paid back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was just curious because, it's like they just, it seems like they haven't quite adjusted with the times, but I was curious what your take on that was. So interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, it is kind of cool. I mean, it's just like yesterday, we were in there bidding a truck yesterday, and, you know, me, Jason, and Shannon pretty much do all the buying and bidding of the vehicles here at the store, and we're trading for them and stuff. And, you know, it used to be one of us could be going, but now it's sometimes we're putting two and three heads together to make sure we're putting the right value in these vehicles and looking at all the different things. And now, I mean, years ago, I could walk out at any vehicle and I could bid it and tell you what it's worth. Today, now I need a VIN number, I need miles, I need everything. And I got to put that thing in a computer program and look at what's on the market's doing, look what's sold, look what's for sale, look what the what NADA saying, look what Black Book's saying. And I've got a pretty well system set up that kind of helps me tell me exactly what to put in the truck for what the market's doing, what's selling, what's not selling, how many day supplies out there of that particular car. You know, how long has it been sitting on somebody else's lot and not for for sale and not sold? All kinds of factors that play into that to know what to, what a car is worth today. And it used to be that, you know, I price every used car here at the store. And I would reprice and look at, well, I shouldn't say reprice. I would look at a car every week. A car would get relooked at to see what it needs to be priced at. Today, I look at every car every day and just to make sure it's priced right, priced to the market and everything else like that. And I'm adjusting prices every day. Just how crazy this market is right now.
Well, we got a good answer. I do also just want to throw a little shout out to you guys at Mel Hamilton Ford. You know, a lot of businesses, when the snowstorm of the century comes in, they close. Not you guys. You guys build a snow ramp and bust out the RC cars. And I dig that. I like that.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, wasn't it?
I was watching like a little kid. I was like, I snowed in. I can't get there. I wish I could get to Mel Hamilton Ford to play with the RC cars with these guys.
Did you get you an RC car?
I haven't yet, but I have one. I'm getting one. I told hey, Nick which one I want. He's got it ready for me. By this time next week, I'll be a proud owner.
The problem with what you just said there, though, is the same thing somebody sitting beside me here. You got more than one kid, so you need more than one car.
Oh no, I got two of them on the way. Not just one. I just didn't didn't elaborate on that.
I got
two of them coming. One for each.
All right, just trying to make sure we got everything covered here. What I was kind of thinking there, maybe you were going to hog that thing and you weren't going to let your kids have it, and you were just going to drive it. What I was thinking, maybe.
Well, that's a possibility.
You know, those RC cars are crazy fast, too. I forgot how fast they are and everything else like that. We had one out here in the parking lot the other day. Holy smokes, I forgot how fast those things are.
We'll move, cover some ground pretty quick, that's pretty for quick, sure.
So,
well, good deal. Well, thanks for the call, Jordan.
No problem. You guys have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Talk to you soon. Okay, 316-462-3673. And, we got another caller coming on the line here, so let's get another caller dialed in here in just a second. Anyway, running kind of tight on time. We've got a call,
316-462-3673. Linda, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. For a 2005 Saturn Ion, for someone that can't like finance, what would you suggest for someone to do in that situation?
So you're looking to purchase it or sell it or refinance it, or what are you?
I'd like to trade it in. It's only got 69,000 miles on it. However, for someone like me, I've got, you know, six kids. I need something bigger, and we've been, you know, actively looking, but I can't finance.
Yeah. So they, Saturn Ion's probably not going to work very well for
six kids
for
and
six
yourself,
kids and
right.
yourself.
No.
So in your situation, you
and
can't finance.
But my kid's father, he actually passed away back in October.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And so, he was the one with the bigger vehicle. So, I'm trying to find a SUV, but, you know, I used to have really good credit. However, not so much anymore. So we are trying to figure out what, you know, for someone like me could do.
Yeah. The only thing I can tell you at this point, if your credit's where you can't get financed or whatever, trying to replace that Saturn Ion even across for another SUV is going to be pretty tough. The next thing I'm going to tell you is,
I can pay, you know, some, like with my credit, my mom I helped her get a car, and the bank ended up, I guess, putting my name first on her loan instead of as a co-signer. Well, then it got refinanced, or it got repossessed.
Yeah, and you're stuck with it out on your credit.
Yeah, and they, you know, they did ended up selling it, but I don't know if it's still actually affecting my credit or not.
Well, I'm going to ask another question.
And then I have a house that I wasn't supposed to have on my credit, and it's affecting my credit as well.
Gotcha. So the only thing out there's a couple things you can do. There are places out there called Buy Here, Pay Here that will set you up on a kind of a situation that we used to do that years ago here, and we kind of stopped because it wasn't very effective for us. But there still are some lots out there that
have the
Buy Here, Pay Here. We can go in and do a month-to-month kind of a situation, and they'll put a tracker on the car and know where the car is at if they need to come get it or whatever from that part too. But they do require some down money to get that taken care of. The only thing else I could offer you was same thing you did for your mother or whatever. Is there anybody that you know would co-sign for you?
Maybe.
Because that would be the other thing, is get someone to co-sign for you. Put yourself first. And that would be that's the fastest way to build your credit back is car credit. So if you could get someone to co-sign for you and hold on to those payments and make 12 at least for a year, and on-time payments for a year, will probably reestablish your credit. Then you could probably then trade again and get back into a car that you would, you know, need or whatever fits your situation better, or haul the amount of kids you need to haul and that sort of stuff too. But there's my two alternatives, is find a Buy Here, Pay Here lot that can do that, or get you a cosigner. And if you got a cosigner, we'd love to help you and try to see what we can do to help put you in the right car, the right situation, and everything else like that to help you rebuild your credit. We do that with a lot of people with cosigners and that stuff too.
Yeah, because like usually whenever I get a car, I just buy it outright. Typically, anyway. And we had bought the Saturn back in March. And at the time, it only had, you know, 55,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we were kind of thinking about it. And we were like, okay, well, with it only having 69,000 miles, with it being an 05, maybe we could just trade it in. I mean, there ain't really anything wrong with it. We took it in, and he even said it's pretty immaculate for being an 05. The only thing that we had to do was replace the serpentine belt.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah, even though it's got low miles on and stuff, being an 05, the age of that still hurts that car a lot on value from that part. But if you don't owe anything on it, that's a good down payment on something else too. But if you've got a cosigner, I think we could help you. And love to help you sit down with you and figure out what would be the best way to help you and work through your situation stuff. And then, like I said, you know, get something that we can get you approved on with the cosigner, make 12 payments, then turn around. Then we can try to, you know, if you've done that and made those good payments, that'll have your credit probably restored better. And then you can get a lot lesser interest rate and a lot better car from what we can probably put you in today.
Yeah. Cause the payments, you know, that ain't really an issue. It's just trying to get it to that point, you
yep.
know? So,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you can get a cosigner, come by and see us.
I really appreciate that.
No problem at all. Love to help you. If you got a cosigner, whatever, give us a ring and come in a little bit and we'll try to help you out and see what I can do to help you. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Linda, have a great day. All right, Josh, we're running out of time, buddy. Any last comments, anything whatsoever?
Let's do this.
Let's do this. We're all done. Hey, everybody, don't forget February 19th, race open house. Going to be lots of fun, everything else like that. Jordan Whitehead will be here cooking 11 to 1. All kinds of prizes, all kinds of hot rods on display. There will be vendors here doing demos and different things like that. You can talk to hands-on about racing for 2022. And I guess that's about it. Let's thank our sponsors one last time. BG Products. All the great preventative maintenance products we use right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford. Big Corner Creative for all your advertising needs. If you need a web page design, race car wraps, vehicle wraps, anything to advertise your business, let those guys help you because they do a fantastic job. As they say, just Google us. Go to Rent. Hey, if you're looking for a rental car, 12 or 15 passenger van, Stan's got a decent still fleet of vehicles back there to help you. Give Stan a call if you need something bigger or just don't want to put the miles on your car. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.